All right, welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here, and I've got a comedy legend in the car, Claire Hooper, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Claire?
Hi, I'm really good.
Now,
I've just plugged you for more details about this thing we're going to.
Well, I bet you are.
I don't know if you've made me feel more or less confident.
What about the gig we're about to do?
Yeah. No, it's good. You've armed me with some knowledge.
I picked you up from outside your house, because you're sort of on the way.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to Geelong to do a benefit for Diabetes One.
Yes.
And Dave Hughes asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm doing a gig with you for Diabetes One. He went, here's a tip. Don't do jokes about diabetes and getting fat, because I made that mistake. So, Diabetes One, you're born with. You can't help it. Diabetes Two, someone like me could get it. Obese people get diabetes. Not necessarily obese, but, you know.
Don't be kind to yourself, Dave.
Yeah, well, anyway.
You're doing
different.
Pilates. You look fine.
I'm doing Pilates. So I don't...
It's okay. I get it. I know the difference. Because my husband's dad's got type 2, so I know that he's...
Yeah.
You know, he's a candidate if he doesn't look after himself.
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, this is a kid that was born with it.
Yeah, I think it's just not for a specific child. I think the woman started the charity because her kid got diabetes 1 or was born with it. And
yeah.
So...
I wonder, here's the point. Like, I'm already in the car and committed to the gig, but now I'm questioning on you about it, and we're like, is this even a registered charity? Like,
well,
what is it we're walking into?
We don't know, but also...
Like,
charity gigs
who gets the money?
Well, not us, but charity gigs can be hit and miss, let's be honest. They can be really good.
They can be the absolute best thing you'll ever do.
Or they're just, like, people don't listen.
Or they can be the last one I did, which was hard.
You did a big one in...
It was big. It was 1,000 people, and it was I was on stage 3.5 hours after they sat down.
Yeah, that's
so,
a ball, basically, a ballish kind of...
Yeah, big
setup.
Charity ball, yeah.
They're the worst.
Yeah, it was big. It was a bit hard.
I find them very hard. Whereas this, it's not a ball. It's a smaller function at Cardinia Park, which I've done a gig before at, in a function room.
For the same people?
Yeah, we did it.
So you have to change your jokes, but you can't remember what jokes you did.
I can't remember what I did. The guy's like, have you got any new jokes? I got a few new ones, but I can't. Anyway, whatever. I'll just do crowd work. What do you do, mate?
Okay. Oh, that's good. All right,
well,
I'll do that too.
Who knows? But look, we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be all right. It's a Saturday night in Geelong, and you're experienced, I'm experienced. And they've got seats, so it's not a standing thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think always when you turn up, people are just standing around.
Yes.
And I reckon, look, they're there for a good cause, so...
And the DJ is emceeing.
Yeah, there's a DJ from the local radio station emceeing.
Oh, yeah, no.
So it's not Moby DJ. It's not like, hey, everyone, stop talking. Got a bit of comedian on now. And they give you that microphone that doesn't reach from their booth.
Yeah, the one that's got the cord attached. That was one of my first...
Man,
corporates.
Terrible.
It was a terrible gig. Yeah, you can't roam. You're tethered.
No. Well,
to the DJ desk.
It's going to be fun because I've had my school fete today and I'm buggered.
Yeah, you're buggered.
Yeah.
I'm buggered, but I don't have a good excuse like you. But
I've got two little kids.
I've got two little kids, man. I'm tired.
Yeah, that's... How old?
Two
and four?
Two and four.
Yeah, that's the hard yards. When they're not at school yet and they're in seats and any nappies going on?
At night.
Night nappies.
Yeah.
That's the hardest time. People say, oh, teenagers, but I've got a teenager and he's fine, so...
I reckon it really depends on your teenager. I reckon teenagers vary wildly, but toddlers are consistently troubled.
Yes. Well, my teenager was just hanging down the local park with his friends. First time ever. So it's like... Anyway, he went from
Saturday
the school fete to the local park.
I remember that, though. Do you remember being a kid at the school fete?
Yeah.
And just the way the, like, evening stretched ahead of you with all this promise, and you were like, how can I get some of that night time?
This is going to be... Oh, hopefully your parents were, helping out. And then, all the parents were helping out, so he just... Anyway, he came back for dinner.
Yeah, how good is it when the sun sets on you and your friends?
Oh, man, it's best
when you're
ever.
When you're a school-age kid, it's so good.
And
then sometimes you'll talk to other kids that you've never met before as the sun goes down. Oh, it's so good.
Awesome. Oh, I wish I was back. Anyway, I'm not. So, okay, Geelong, here we come. So keep listening to The Debrief because we'll be back on in about 5 seconds after the gig. Lucky you, listener.
It's going to be so much more painless.
If we don't come back, you know what happened. It was bad. All right, yeah. We'll be in touch. Ah, you're back on the debrief with Dave O'Neill and Claire Hooper. We've just done the Geelong Diabetes Type 1 benefit and it was good.
Yeah, it was really good. You couldn't be sure that it was going to be...
No, because we walked in and it was sort of a little bit... There were some chairs down the front. There was tables, big round tables. And...
Yes, big round tables. And nobody sat in the chairs section. There were like five people in the chairs section. And everyone else was like in the peripheral of the audience.
Yeah, but they were good. They were great.
They were nice. They were really appreciative.
They were
a really good crowd. And I got a little bit of the fear, not the bad fear, the good fear, watching you, because I was like, oh, fuck, he's made it look easy and good.
Oh, yeah, because like, I went on first.
Because I was watching you thinking, oh, we should have closed with Dave. Like, there's no way they'll like me as much as they like Dave.
Nah, but they loved you.
Yeah. They loved me more than they loved you. But, yeah, I was like, no, I was just like, I better turn it out.
Yeah, you did
because
well.
Because I've got to close.
You know what, though? You chose the right material because I reckon there was more women than men. Do you reckon?
Slightly more women, and definitely when I was all like, "So who doesn't have kids?" It was a tiny percentage.
They're all parents. And we also had Annette Bongiorno, who used to work with my brother in Sydney.
Your brother Trevor.
Trev.
She told me.
Yes, and she's like a Geelong local who used to stand up in the 80s. And 90s.
Yes, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know her.
No, because coming in, we thought it was just a person who was new to stand-up. And I feel really rude because I said to her, so this is like your first time? And she's like, no.
But she hasn't done it for a while, though.
No, she hasn't done it for ages.
She was good.
She didn't give me the dirty look or anything for getting it wrong. But it was still one of those things where you're like, oh, I feel bad for suggesting it was your first time when you did it.
Her closer was unfortunately similar to my closer, which was she did Bohemian Rhapsody about waking up in the night and having sex, which, you know, that's often my closer. So
that was
Calabush, Calabush.
You know, that was actually, I mean, yeah, that was a really when she was taking the deep breath about to sing, I was like, oh dear, and then it was very good.
Yeah, well.
But you know, like the breath that you know, the comedian takes where you're like, you're about to sing and there's no accompaniment.
She could sing, which was good. Oh, yeah. So, and then we hung around, did the raffle, and we're driving home now.
Yeah, we did the raffle.
It's a good.
And I bad copped. I came up and I said, I think it's time to leave.
Yes.
Something really charming.
Well, we were there for a while.
You know, it's great to make friends with people, do a good gig, and then just sour it all at the end by acting stroppy about not being home yet.
But you've got to get kids.
I've got two little kids. I want to go home.
You've got to go home. And we're in Geelong. It's an hour from Melbourne.
But I also thought, I was like, well, one of us has to be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, let's let Dave be the friendly dude.
Sure.
And I'll just be the diva. I put on my fluffy pink coat and I put my prissy little handbag on my shoulder and I said, I think it's time to go.
Time to go. And John Watts, fan of the show, listened to the show.
Yeah.
Walked us to the car and it's all good. But you were great. I haven't seen you for, I reckon, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And I watched your whole set and it was really good.
Thanks, babe.
It was really good. I love it when you talk about Wade, your husband.
What do I say about Wade?
Well, that hasn't got a proper name, which is...
It's true.
I remember the bit you used to do, which I don't think you did it. I know you didn't do it tonight when you didn't actually... You thought it was Wayne, didn't you? Until you saw it written down. Oh, my God.
Oh.
When you saw it in a letter.
Oh, my God.
Remember when you said you... Because you know how you forget bits?
I'd forgotten that actual fact from my life. Yeah, I remember looking at his name on a letter.
Yeah, yeah. You used to do that in stand-up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, I'm going to try and remember some of the other bits.
That's an actual thing from my actual life that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't know his actual name.
I remember you talking about the mother-in-law, too. I remember you doing that.
What did I think it... So did I think it was Wayne?
Yeah, you thought it was Wayne. Yeah. And you'd never seen it written down until you got a letter out of the letterbox.
That's right. And I sent Harley a text the next day that was like something about... I want to send your friend a postcard. How do you spell his name again? And then Harley obviously completely knew what was
Harley
up.
Harley Breen
sent me a text back that said, as you'd expect, or something like that.
Yeah,
which
right.
Was a
thanks
full
for that. Thanks,
block.
Harley.
Thanks, yeah. Harley. And so, but that was true because, I met Wade on a Thursday night. We went out on a Friday night. Neither of us was certain of each other's name.
Yeah,
and then
right.
I flew away on a, like, gig for the weekend. I think I went to Adelaide that week, like, on the Saturday morning. And I was like, oh, I'll send him a postcard, but I'll send a text to Harley to be like, how do you spell it? And he didn't.
He didn't offer it up.
He did not help out.
So he was onto it.
But what I didn't realise, and I don't think I did stand up about this, was that Harley, because I put my number in Wade's phone, that night, and he was very drunk, and Harley was like, I know you, Wade, you're going to pester her. So Harley took his phone and took my number out of it and said to Wade, I'll give you her number back if you can tell me her name. And apparently Wade was like, I don't know, Lucy? Anyway.
Lucy.
So Wade was really lucky that I texted him the next
day.
Because otherwise, because he was never going to text me because Harley wouldn't let him have the number in case he was badly behaved.
How funny is that?
Oh my God. Dave, I can't believe I forgot that actual. Like that was gonna be gone. That was a gone.
That was
memory.
Gone. No,
I did not know that.
It made me. I remember it made me laugh a lot when you. Yeah, because I just thought. I just remember thinking, what sort of name is that? You know, like is that a New Zealand name? I know he's a Kiwi, but is it common in New Zealand to be called Wade? Wade.
It's a really. It's actually quite an American name.
It's
a bit of a like baseballer. Astronauty kind of name,
sure.
You know, like it's
okay.
Very American, and I think it was, it was kind of had a bit of flavor in the '80s,
sure,
when everyone was going for really American names.
Yeah, yeah okay.
But
like
yeah, so
Brock,
his name,
Brock and Rock,
his,
and, yeah.
His dad's name is Barry Wayne, and
classic.
His brother's name is Shay Dwayne.
Oh my God,
and
Dwayne.
Wade is Wade. You know, like there was a real.
Yeah, Dwayne, there's a lot of Dwaynes. Yeah.
There's a lot of the wah sound in all their names.
Yeah, wow. Wah, I should say. Wah. Yeah, anyway, you have a very relaxed, comfortable style on stage. It's good. It's really good to watch.
So do you.
Oh. I hate every minute while I'm up there. No, I don't.
No, that's not true, though, is it?
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Well, because you look at you. Yeah, I was saying it, and then afterwards I was like, there's something. You know, like some people do a great job, but they still don't look like.
Yeah, they look stressed.
Yeah.
Some people look stressed.
You make it look very effortless. Like, as in it flows out of you without there being a sense that you're planning anything, and yet there has to be. There's
got to be something.
There's
got to
be something behind it because you're hitting punchline after punchline. Do people tune in to hear people suck up to you? Like, am I going.
Yeah.
Am I laying it on too thick?
Well, no.
Because I can pull it back, but I feel.
I'm backing my compliments.
I know, and we've still got 50 minutes to go. Can I keep this up?
I'm not even going to ask you for petrol money.
Oh, were you going to ask me for
Remember
petrol
the days money? When you would offer petrol money? Someone offered me the other day. I'm like, what? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have occurred to me, Dave.
No.
I'm so sorry. You can have some petrol money.
No, it's all right. It's fine.
No, I should give you petrol money.
Of course you should.
God.
Don't worry about it. I'm trying to remember the first time I met you. I do this on this podcast, and I think I remembered it.
Okay.
I was on the steps of the town hall, and you were doing. Did you do Comedy Zone?
Yes.
That's when I met you. I remember talking to you. You probably don't remember it, but I just remember talking to you because I was out there. What year was that? You reckon? What year was that?
That was 2005.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And you. Well, who did you do it with?
I did it with Kent Valentine.
Oh yeah, yeah. What happened to him? He moved to England, didn't he? Anyway.
Yes, Helen Thorne.
Oh, Helen Thorne.
She moved to England. And Andy Muirhead, where did he move to?
Well, jail for a while.
Yeah, that was
He was a guy from The Collectors who was done for child porn, if anyone's wondering who we're talking about.
Yeah.
It was terrible,
yeah, really,
terrible.
Really awful story.
Really?
And I don't know.
I didn't get to Tasmania, and he was there.
I need to, yeah. We need to fully, it's a very serious thing to be done for.
Oh, yeah.
But I apologise to anyone who's been badly affected by child pornography, who's been a victim of it. But I also feel a great deal of compassion for him.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, as in, I don't think anyone enters into a relationship with child porn lightly, I think it would be quite a torment.
Yeah. Well, he's
paid some penance.
Oh yeah, Andy. Yeah, it's an interesting
case. Because he was just, you know, the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, he seemed like
a, yeah. So what a double life to live.
Yeah, they reckon he had some sort of illness, but I don't know.
Well, now you get into the, like, as in you can. I mean, anything, any antisocial behaviour kind of can be.
An illness,
You can call it an illness, can't you? It's really hard to call anything criminal but not mentally ill nowadays. You know what I mean?
Well, I remember talking to you out the front.
Okay, anyway,
Because I would have been doing a show.
Yeah.
And you were, we were flyering, and, you know, flyering is so boring, handing out your pamphlets.
You'll have a chat. You need to chat.
And then I saw you when you were doing Good News Week too, because I went on that a few times.
How many
episodes did you do on Good News Week?
I don't know. How many episodes?
Oh, there must be like 100.
Somebody would know.
It'd be on your IMDb page.
Oh, yeah. I want to look at that.
And then my wife wanted to remind me that we saw you in Sydney. So you must have been living in Sydney doing radio up there.
Yeah. When did you see me in Sydney?
When we went to the Robert Patterson press conference for Water for Elephants.
Oh, that's right. And you and I sat next to each other and we were...
Yes.
It was so... That was one of the nicest ones I've been...
Yeah. Were you hosting it?
Was it Robert Patterson?
No, it was Robert Patterson and Reese Witherspoon. And it was at Luna Park.
Yes. Oh my God, I'd forgotten that Robert was there because he was so boring. Well, but Reese was utterly charming.
Reese was hilarious.
She knows her stuff and he was so dull.
Well, he was just...
Like, I'd just forgotten he was there. And that's a terrible thing to forget because he was, you know, like, I was
big star.
He was a big star.
Well, the funny thing was that... were you hosting that press conference?
No. Was I? No.
Were you?
Was I?
You were the only person I knew because apart from us, it was just young women from Dolly Magazine and Cleo and...
I don't think I was hosting, but I think I might have asked a question or two.
Yeah, because what happened...
If you remember hearing my voice, it's just because I... come with a few things to ask.
What
was the film?
Water for Elephants. I've seen all Rob Patterson's movies because my wife is a huge fan of his, right? And so she made me ring up and get tickets to that press conference. And we don't live in Melbourne. But I tell you what, if there's any terrorists out there listening, it's so easy to get a ticket to a press conference. Because I just rang up, I found out who the film company was or whatever.
That's right. You weren't even on radio anymore and you had to fly up from Melbourne. Actual general public.
Yes. And so I ring up and I go, whatever, Columbia Film Company, whatever. Oh, g'day, I want to go to the Rob Patterson press conference. And the woman goes, all right, what's your name? David O'Neill. And what media are you from? I said, the ABC. She's like, yeah, no worries. All right. Those tickets are coming your way. It's like, so easy. And then we get there and we're sitting there and my wife's going, ask a question. I'm like, I didn't even have a tape recorder with me. I wasn't reporting for anyone. So, but she was really nice, Reese Witherspoon.
I feel like we might have even played your question on mix.
You know what? We could have because I asked. You know what I asked? Twitter ruined your life, Rob? Because my partner's a Rob Patterson. And see, guys like that, especially that was in the twilight fame. He was right in the middle of it. So it would have been 5 years ago, maybe. When did you do Mix? 5 years ago?
Six. I reckon that would have been 6 years ago.
Yeah, and he was right in the middle of the twilight. And he would, like, go to a cafe in America. People would see him tweet, and then there'd be, like, 100 people turn up 20 minutes later just to... So he got hassled. Because he maybe had security guards and stuff.
Yeah.
And I asked him, has Twitter ruined your life? And he said, absolutely, it's ruined my life.
I can't remember what I asked, but I feel like I asked it of Reese, and she was very good.
Reese was funny.
She was funny.
I was making jokes and stuff, and then she saw me. Then we went to the red carpet, and she said, hey, funny guy.
Aw, that's the best.
Reese remembered me. Yeah, I love Reese Witherspoon. But yeah. Rob, he had a security guard and... But one of my, a guy I know, produced a movie or that. Anyway, they filmed, his next movie in Australia, Rob Patterson did, was, they filmed it in rural South Australia. I can't remember what it was called. And Rob just used to like going for walks around the small town. He goes, because he can't do that where he lives. He said he can't walk out on the streets. He gets mobbed. But I think that's changed now. That was the Twilight heyday.
Yeah.
Who did you do mix with in Sydney?
First year, Andrew Rochford.
Dr. Andrew Rochford?
Yeah.
He inspected me the other day on, geez, you have a problem. Because I had shingles and he came on and pushed his thumb into my chest, into my welts. Yeah.
Great.
But he's quite handsome in real life, isn't
he?
Oh,
he's very handsome. What do you mean in real life? Is he not handsome on screen?
Well, I'd never really noticed him on screen. I used to love that show he did. I was talking to him about it, where he would walk around an emergency room in Sydney.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Called the waiting room.
Yeah.
It was really good.
He's a good man.
So, he would have been all right. And at least, you know, if you've got medical problems, you could come to work and go...
Oh, I've really tried not to do that.
I've got a bit of a headache. I know.
I was really, really aware of not doing that. And then the second year that I was on Mix was with Tim Ross.
Oh, Rosso.
Yeah.
American Rosso. I know Rosso, yeah.
He's a good man.
Talked about architecture a lot.
Yep. He did. He was mad for it already, but he was not talking about it that much.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he was a really good one to work for.
He'd handle the management.
He was big brothering me. Exactly what you say. But yeah, like I felt like he was playing big brother, like because I was, like I didn't want to be there, and he knew that.
Were you doing Good Newsweek as well? That's a big work.
No, it's not. Newsweek's easy.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I should have worked harder on Good Newsweek. I should have considered that. Sure, it was a big week. I didn't have kids. I only had a dog and a husband. You know, like it was fine.
Yeah.
And Good Newsweek is one of those jobs that gives you energy. Radio takes it, but Good Newsweek was I feel more energised at the end. You know, like I can walk in tired and feel better at the end of it.
Yeah, but Good Newsweek was quite competitive, wasn't it? I mean, you were there every week, but for the guest, some of those shows can be competitive.
Yeah, I like to think ours wasn't the worst.
It wasn't the worst of its genre.
I mean, it could be, but...
Mikey's so quick.
Mikey's really quick. God, he's really quick. So sometimes you just, you know, like you're about to get to something good and he'll just beat you to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I like to think, I mean, if you watch it back and you will see Paul deftly hand the question to people without it being obvious. He's like, all right, everyone, give her a go. He's
very good.
He's better at hosting than you realise. Like, you know he's a good host, but if you watch it...
long, too. He's good, Paul.
I think he's aware of getting everyone in the game.
Yes. And now, the bake-off. That must be fun. Or is there a lot of sitting around on a show like that?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Because it all looks so beautiful.
It's really beautiful, and it is genuinely beautiful there. So, I mean, we arrive in the darkness, and it's cold and dark.
Where do they film
and
that?
And we sit and get hair and makeup put on, and then we kind of eat some breakfast, and we get our outfits on, and then we're walking down to the shed. You asked me a question. Concord West is the answer, and it probably doesn't mean much to anyone, but it's out. In the not too far west of Sydney, along Parramatta River, in a spot that most people don't know about, but a lot of dog walkers do. So it's just a little. It looks like the country, but it's just one of those.
Windsor, but just near Windsor. That's on the
Is it?
Roads.
What river? Think of it. Roads. Do you know where the IKEA is? Anyway, it's in that sort of zone.
Halfway up
the Parramatta River.
Right. Yes.
So you walk, but you're basically walking down to the set as the sun's coming up, and it's. Beautiful, and the birds and the flowers and the sun coming through the trees, and then the shed that we film in is so beautifully dressed.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. Like you're in a little bit of heaven, but it's colder than you realize, and it is 14-hour days, and there's a lot of waiting around.
God.
And waiting around is a good thing because you know, like every season. Like last year, I taught myself to crochet, amirigami, how do you say it? Those little dolls, you know, where you...
Then
this year, I was teaching myself Japanese, like on Duolingo. So it's if you've got spare time and you can be bothered using it for something, great. But it does make you churn a little bit, you know, like knowing how much... Sitting around is a funny thing to do.
Is weird.
And it's hard to be when other people, because you look at the people working the cameras and they're on their feet the whole
all
time.
Day, yeah,
so how are you going to complain about not
it's hard to.
Doing anything? But yeah, you do. Yeah, you churn a little bit.
How long did the shoots last for? Like, how long did you do that for? Like
6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Ish. Yeah, 6 weeks-ish.
Monday to Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit variable.
Sometimes, so you have to move up there for a little bit.
Sometimes we'll get a day off in the 5 days, or sometimes we'll do 6 days, or, you know, like, there's a bit of...
Yeah.
It's not quite as predictable as Monday to Friday, but yeah.
So they put you in a hotel for that long?
Yes.
Oh, my God. In Sydney or around near there?
The first 3 years, I took the family up, but this year, because my... Penny's in 4-year-old kinder.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just too disruptive. Like, she's having... Like, she's kind of... She's not got problems, but she's not ahead of the game in terms of her, like, reading and writing stuff.
Yeah.
So there was a real sense that she didn't need 6 weeks of, like, doodling around in Sydney with her dad and her little sister. She needed to actually be...
Yeah, some kinder structure.
So I had to... So that was really weird. So that's like going away from my family for 5 days at a time, coming home tired for 2 tired days, and then returning.
It's like being a travelling salesperson, like a...
Yeah.
Or in the army.
Really, it was really weird. And heading into it, I was really worried about missing them terribly. And also, like, 6 weeks is a long time in their lives. Like, they're actually growing up in my absence.
Yeah.
But I was also really afraid that I would like it too much I'd just begin to, like, relax into the idea and then have to go home to be a parent. You know what I mean? Like, you do get comfortable only looking after yourself and, like, eating when you please and sleeping the full night. And
so do they put you up in that area, or are you in Sydney CBD?
You get to choose. Oh. They're really generous, and they'll just organise drivers for it. If you can be bothered... If you like, the first year I stayed in Surrey Hills, it was a long commute, but you're in a car, so you just...
Yeah.
You're fine. Last year I stayed in Leichhardt, which is a really good compromise. It was like a 12-minute drive home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a trendy suburb now, though, Leichhardt, isn't it?
It was the best. It was great. Yeah,
awesome. And where's Mel? Oh, Mel live? Mel Buttle's Brisbane.
She's Brizzy, so she's doing the same thing, just picking somewhere. Like, you know, we basically know the budget and we find somewhere on Airbnb and request it.
Yeah, she's fun too.
Butts is the best.
Yeah, she'd be good fun to work with.
The best. Because we're similar enough and different enough.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We're not. We're very much not the same person, but we've got each other's number. And she... I think we're... I don't know. Who knows what she says about me? But, well, the sense I've got is we've both got a really good read on each other's moods and each other's strengths. And we just... help each other out in a way that doesn't annoy each other.
So we
write jokes, you know, like, as in, we'll write a joke, it'll get put in the script in the wrong person's spot, and I'll be like, oh, but I'm about to do one of your jokes, and she's like, I don't care. You know, it's a pretty generous
relationship.
And she knows my weaknesses are dealing with the promo team. I get all, like, I get really glitchy and really cranky.
Yeah, right.
Because they're like, do something funny with these props. And I'll just be like, what do you think I should do with the props? Like, I'm not a nice person. People think I am.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that can be annoying, though. In the old days, with you know what's ruined things? Digital bloody cameras.
Oh, my God.
There's so many photos. They can take...
If another promo person hands me a selfie stick and says, just do something funny with it. No, I'm sorry, I'm 42 and I don't want to do something funny with a selfie stick.
Well, in the old days, the local paper guy would come out and he goes, I've only got 12 photos. All right,
The
last one, put the pot on your head. I'm not going to use it, just got to use the film up. That's the one that always ends up on the pot on the head.
It's so true.
Put the pot on your head. We're not going to use it. We'll just muck around a bit.
I just think I'm not very good at having more than one mum and dad. So I get into the, you know, like, we've got the production crew. We've got the people I'm used to taking direction with. I build a trust relationship. I understand what their words mean and what they want from me, and they understand me. And then somebody else comes in and tries to direct a bit. And I'm like, no, you're not my real mum.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I'm just a little bit, I don't know. I just want one mum.
Yeah. And it's, you get a certain age where you're like, I don't want to do that.
I just don't want to do
that.
I do really
Is it really going to help the show? Is it really going to help the show?
So I was talking to Richard Feidler about this. Oh, Clang. But I was talking to the...
From the most downloaded podcast.
Yes.
I saw it. They always say that. And it's like, yeah, well, of course it is. You've got a massive media company called the ABC behind you.
Yeah.
They put on TV ads and radio ads. Anyway.
Well, we were talking about the, like... Well, he was talking about how he's getting it at the ABC, the digital team, the promo team. They come in, they're like, oh, look, can we just get a little boomerang of you, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying how it frustrates him, and I was saying how it frustrates me. And then I was saying to him, from my perspective, I don't want to see Richard Feidler from Conversations doing a boomerang in the corridors of ABC. Like, yeah. I get that that's on trend, but it actually devalues his brand. He's got legacy, and I don't want to see cute little...
No, that's right.
I'm like, if you want to find something to put on Facebook to remind me to watch Conversations, find something that doesn't just look like everything else everyone's doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
so yeah. Anyway, I feel like that's probably what grates on me is like the... Well, you don't think Maggie Beer is selling the show enough. You want her to do something cute in the potting shed as well. Like, that's Maggie Beer. That's Maggie fucking Beer. She's a brand. Legend. She's a brand. Don't make her also play around on your video.
You can buy her ice cream in the supermarket. I buy it. I like it.
Yeah, it is good ice cream. Anyway, that's my little rant.
Yeah,
but I also feel bad because these promo people, they've got a job to do.
Yeah, but also they're feeding a beast. I mean, how much shit do you want on Facebook? You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like...
We've got 100 hits on that.
I feel like we're just chucking all this rubbish out into the... Like, there's exactly. so much... rubbish with our face on it out there. Gross. Clean it up. Shut it down. No more.
I used to work with someone who used to put stuff out on Twitter and then come back and go, I've got a really big response on Twitter to this. We should do this sketch. Or got a big response on Twitter. And then someone said, how many? Three. Three people. What?
Yeah.
Look, you're listening to The Debrief. Claire Heber's with me. We're travelling home from the G-Town.
It's very late. That's why I sound cranky.
No, you're not cranky.
Yeah, I've had a big rant.
Okay, we'll be back after this.
Hi there, I'm Carl Quinn.
Hi, I'm Andrew Young. We are The Clappers, your source for all kinds of sauce when it comes to cultural entertainment in the podcasting style.
That's us, we're The Clappers.
You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and you know where that is.
You're back on The Debrief, and Claire, I have these questions I ask everyone.
Yep.
Okay, what went well tonight and why? In your act or in the whole thing, it doesn't matter. What went well tonight?
They responded well to me pulling silly faces.
Yeah, they did. Well,
they did. And
you
it was,
do
you know,
good
it was
faces, though.
I do a lot of face work.
You're quite animated.
It was a single spot. You know, like you brought the light in.
It was a
single spot in quite a wide room. So I was a bit concerned that, like...
Yeah, you played to both sides, though. You were playing the whole
thing.
Yeah,
I know, but I was worried they weren't really getting the faces because the light's front on. It was fine. It turned out to be fine. I pulled back.
So what didn't go well? It didn't go well?
Do you know what else? Can I say one more thing that went well? Yeah. I, in the middle of my set, asked someone to stop filming on their phone, and it went well.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a real risk. It was a real risk, because, like...
I didn't even hear you.
That puts a chill in the room. I stared at the phone. I stopped talking for a sec, and... But I didn't stop smiling, but I stopped talking, stared at the phone. I went, flip the phone shut. I can't swear if you're filming.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's...
And I feel bad because nobody films because they're not liking you. They film because they're liking you, but it's still
like... Where does that end up?
Where does it go? And it never looks good. Like, it's always going to undersell you. Nothing looks as good.
No, that's right.
In a little box on the screen as it did in the room. Like, you just can't capture this stuff.
No.
But you also... I mean, like, what an ego to assume that anyone else is going to see it.
Yeah, but still.
But if they do, it's not going to sell you. It's going to make you look shit. So I just don't... I've never liked it. I used to get filmed and photographed back when I was doing, like, theatre and education in my 20s, and even then I didn't like it. I just...
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know, Dave, I often think I'm not really meant to do what I'm doing. I don't think I have the personality.
Well, you're good.
Job.
You're good at it though. So, That's not, anyway, that's not a bad thing to be. I'm not onto that stuff at all. I'm just like, oh, film, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah, see, and that's what I should be. That's a much better way to live. That's, then it's not eating at you. But yeah, so it was a real, like, it was a really tough call. It was like, do I shut it down and get it a stop? And then I asked her, and she totally did, and we talked afterwards. Like, I made a point of going and having a chat with her afterwards so she knew that like, annoyed at her or anything. Anyway, so that's what went well. What went badly?
Yeah, what did you? You went pretty well, I thought.
What went badly?
You can say nothing. Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way? Like anything with the room or...
There
were empty seats up the front.
Yeah, and that wasn't good, but it didn't hurt us.
Nah.
I guess what went wrong? I don't know. I like to make a quick exit. No, not a quick exit. I like to have a few chats and scoot.
Yeah, but we hung around. How much did you hang around?
Draw the raffle. Well, I don't know. I remember you saying, I remember us doing early estimates were we'll be out of there around 9:15. And it's 10:30 and we're leaving.
We got out of there late.
But that's not a bad thing. It's just, and it's also like what happens when you've got two people trying to leave and people are catching those people for conversations. The chances of you both being ready to leave at the same time are really slim. So,
yes. And how can we do better next time?
What do you reckon? What went wrong? Did anything go wrong? It was pretty good. Fine.
For that type of gig, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, we got away.
They could have had more people down the front.
Mate, they really could.
In those seats.
Yeah.
Because it was like, thank God for Deidre and Tom. And their adult daughter, Stephanie.
They were excellent.
They were great.
What could you do next time?
Yeah.
To make it better?
Leave straight away. No.
Yeah. Well, if it's in response to the previous question, just make a plan for leaving. As you're going in, have your plan for exit. But
do you often just do the Phantom at gigs?
Also, you know what I could do to make it better next time is have a little bit more local material.
My partner's from Geelong.
And I usually have done something in the way of tailoring a few bits to the room, and I didn't, and I wish I had.
Yeah, but as Hughesy warned us, don't mention diabetes. Don't do the jokes about diabetes.
Thanks, Hughesy.
Don't say that you get... Anyway. Overall, it was a great success. So I normally play a song here that you can choose. I would not know. I've never talked to you about music, so I don't know what sort of music you like. Or maybe you don't like...
No, we haven't talked music, have we?
I don't know. What sort of music do you like?
You're trying to roll off the back of this to close your... podcast.
Yeah.
I've really stopped listening to music lately.
That's not unusual if you've got two small children because your life is so full of noise.
Oh my God. All I want is some silence. When I go for a jog, I just want nothing.
Nothing.
I don't need to be inspired by music. I want to hear my own breath and my feet against the pavement. Like, I just want no music. And Wade's always putting on music.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's great music, but also just
adds to the noise,
just
though.
Shut it down. Plenty of other noise
in
this house.
Have you ever videotaped your house and then watched it back? On your phone? I just remember videotaping our house for some reason, like the kids. And then we watched it back and we just both said, how noisy is our house?
Yeah, it's non-stop noise.
So much noise. That's all right. You can pick an old song. What music do you used to like?
Man.
What is Wade like?
I'm really torn between two songs, and I don't think anyone wants to listen to either of them.
Well, I'll help choose.
Shall I put both of them in your lap?
Yeah, I'll choose.
I remembered last night how much I loved 20 years ago an Aphex Twin track called
Aphex
Donkey
Twin.
Rhubarb. It's
okay,
so
I know
great.
That, but I know Aphex Twin.
It's such a good track.
All right. I'm intrigued by the other one. Because you talk about it on stage how you went to Splendor in the Grass with your baby, which is a very funny routine.
Yeah. I remember putting her to sleep by a generator because it was the only way to get white noise to get her to sleep. Because
Were you sleeping in
so
a tent?
Noise. No, thank goodness. It was because I was doing a gig there.
Yeah.
So... Wade brought her in
I thought they just put you in tents, though, in Splendour of the Grass.
Yeah, no, I managed to, you know, given that I had a baby...
Get a cabin.
And a bit of a profile, I got actually, a real bed, but it was still very noisy.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was a real mistake. It was a really stupid thing to do. Anyway, and then the other one that I just love and still has a love for me is the Queens of the Stone Age track, First It Giveth.
Oh, I know them, but I only know the big ones, so...
Yeah, I can play you both of those off my phone now, and you can just choose
one. We'll just go...
Oh, do you want something a bit more chilled? Because I absolutely love James Blake.
Oh, James Blake? James Blake? Is it the...
Not James Blunt.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you were thinking of James Blunt, weren't you?
People who like James Blunt are normally not secretive about it, I reckon. They're like, oh, you know, I like James Blunt.
Yeah, I like his personality, but I don't listen to his music.
Yeah, he seems quite funny.
Let's just play
Queens of Stone Age. We're happy to play them.
Okay.
They're a good rocking band, and he's an interesting dude, that guy.
It's a pretty harsh track. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Here we go. And so also we should mention Claire can be found on Twitter.
No. Nope.
Facebook.
No.
Okay.
Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram.
Instagram. Okay. Insta.
But I'm terrified of contact with real humans. So
fair enough.
Just keep it gentle, guys.